Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Mighty Mini Heater. This powerful heater puts out 78% more heat than big box heaters, seven times its size, and can heat up to 1,000 square feet. Get your Eden Pure Mighty Mini Heater today at EdenPureDeals.com. Use code word Howie10 and you'll save $10 and get free shipping.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
I don't think there's been much on any incoming president's plate that's been a bigger menu than the plate I had given to me.
There's nothing on that plate but gristle and fat.
I'm not complaining. Knew that running in. And the fact of the matter is we got an awful lot done. An awful lot done.
Listen, if I can get a dessert down them. I think you could throw in a couple of Paul Bunyan hats for the kid.
Live from the Matthews Brothers studio.
Let me turn things to a leader who is no stranger to making history. Folks, it is indeed my honor now to introduce... Oh, well, she's not here yet, but she'll be here shortly.
She's always late for everything.
Look, I think this week has been frustrating, devastating, angering, all of those things.
Oh. The worst so far.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
If you're in Boston or nearby Boston and you oppose the vaccine passports that Mayor Wu has just imposed, and you oppose the mandatory vaccines for City of Boston workers, which the deadline is now going to be, I think, January 24th, next Monday. You'll have to have the vaccines by then, or they'll begin the suspension process. If you oppose this, the Boston First Responders United, that's the city workers who are opposed to this, led by the police and fire and EMTs, there's going to be a candlelight vigil on Sunday night from 5 to 6 p.m. at the Paul Revere statue in the north end. That's on Hanover Street, obviously, the main drag, and from 5 to 6 p.m. And we tweeted out the information about it. So go to at Howie Carr Show, and you can read up on the Free the Hub candlelight vigil Sunday night. All right, 844-500-4242. This is from the New York Post. Parolee charged with hurling slur at Asian man shoving him on the subway.
You better watch your microaggressions, bro.
Must be a Trump supporter, right? Tandika Wright, 35, approached the 26-year-old victim on a southbound F train approaching the 23rd Street station and snarled, "Hey, are you a slur? Starts with a C. You people brought the virus here. You people killed my people." Then she shoved the victim and took off. And she is on parole, and she's now been charged with aggravated harassment based on race or religion. And again, her name is Tandika Wright. They have a surveillance photo. She is not wearing a MAGA hat, by the way. She was taken into custody at a parole office. She was previously arrested in 2014, charged with second-degree murder. So I guess at that point she was charged with killing her own people. But she was ultimately convicted of attempted manslaughter in the first degree and was in prison from 2015 to 2019 when she was released on parole. And she has also been charged in the past. She was jailed, from 2011 to 2013 on an arson conviction. So she's been charged with murder, convicted of manslaughter, convicted of arson, but she's very worried about this guy on the subway who's Asian. Again, no word. Would Donald Trump like to comment on this? On the arrest of Tandika Wright?
Everybody's always blaming me for everything.
Damn right. And there's a big story in the Daily Beast that the New York Attorney General is investigating to see if Trump tried to get the valuations on his properties reduced so that he could pay less in property taxes. Because, you know, the prisons are full of people who've tried to get their valuations reduced, right? And I think in some cases it's known as an abatement. I didn't know that now trying to seeking an abatement or a reduction in your property tax levy is now considered a crime, I guess. Who knew? All right, 844-500-4242. Before we go back to the phone lines, I want to play some of the Biden cuts. We've been saving these for the last hour. And let's start with a couple we've already played today, and that would be these are all from today. This is Biden again mispronouncing the name of a member of his cabinet. Cut 5.
Marty Walsh, a mayor in Boston. Pete Buttigieg is a mayor.
Pete Buttigieg.
Boston. Pete Buttigieg is a mayor.
I thought his name was Buttigieg. Now I know it's Buttigieg. But again, let's look on the bright side. He got Marty Walsh's name right. He's called him in the past Walsh Marty. And then there's the another cabinet secretary. Cut 4.
Tom Vilsack was a governor who's also a mayor. Marsha Fudge, governor. A mayor.
She was the mayor of a small town in Ohio. She never close to being the governor. All right, cut 12.
In Milwaukee, y'all are training workers to get help to get rid of lead pipelines. You have 450,000 schools. The idea that we have our kids drinking out of fountains that have lead pipes feeding the fountains.
Most of the last half century, the governor of Wisconsin has been a Democrat. The Democrats have controlled the state for large parts of that time. The Democrats have controlled Congress for most of the last 50 years. When you were in control, you were vice president for 8 years. Well, you didn't do anything about the lead pipes and the 450,000 school kids in Milwaukee. That's a lot of school kids. I didn't know it was that there were that many kids. Cut 13.
Everybody, no matter where you're, city, suburban, or rural areas. Here in Washington, D.C.
City, suburban, or rural. Rural. I guess that means the original rural. That's what means, I think. Cut 14.
If there's something so bad, why are people fighting to open up businesses?
What? I didn't catch the beginning of that. Let me hear that again.
If there's something so bad, why are people fighting to open up businesses?
If there's something so bad, why are they fighting to open up businesses? Cut 15.
Where the hell are we? No, I'm serious. We're falling further and further behind the curve.
You know, when he says, where the hell heck are we, people take him literally. He doesn't know where. Does he know where we are? And remember he went to New Hampshire a month or two ago, and he remembers this bridge. I mean, he can't remember the name of his transportation secretary, but somehow this bridge made an impression on what little remains of his gray matter between his ears. Cut 9.
Last week, we rolled out a historic investments in our nation's bridges, like the one I visited in New Hampshire, where restrictions could force school buses and fire trucks to go 10 miles out of their way just to get across a small river.
And under our new Democrat proposals for infrastructure, we expect that bridge will be replaced sometime in about 100 years from now, because that's the way it works. Cut 10.
Or the I-10 bridge I visited in Louisiana. It's 20 years past its planned life. It doesn't have modern safety features.
It doesn't have modern safety features. Can we quote you on that, Mr. President? Have you ever heard anyone confuse the word feature with fissure? Did you ever mean to say feature and you said fissure? Say,
the
what's
fact
the
fact is that I don't remember.
What's the fissure at the movie house this weekend at the Bijou at the Paramount? Cut 6.
More than 360 of you signed a letter to sent to me, and we were trying to get this legislation passed. 360 of you.
trying to get so every successful passed.
We were trying to get this legislation passed. 360 of you.
This legislation, he didn't even say legislation. He just said legislature, legislate. He just said legislate. Cut eight.
You know, I've flown all over the world, all over the country this last year, visiting sites that have been damaged by as a consequence of environmental changes.
Environmental change is also known as weather. We could use some global warming about now, couldn't we, in New England? What is it? I've just looked at the weather in Wellesley, where I live. It's like 15 degrees. I think we could use a little environmental changes.
Real feel of negative eight.
Negative eight. Wow. Cut three.
People you look to are you. They're the people you look that they look to are you. For real.
Huh? Let's hear that one again.
People you look to are you. They're the people you look that they look to are you. For real.
People they look to are the you. The you. Okay.
You mean I think the University of Miami?
The you. Are you. For real. Come on, man. Malarkey. Cut two.
You think I'm kidding. It's not a joke. Mayor's carry.
Mayor, who carries it? Mary's or Mayor's?
You think I'm kidding. It's not a joke. Mayor's carry.
Mary's carry. I want to hear about the you again. Cut three.
People you look to are the you. They're the people you look that they look to are you. For real.
They're the people that you, they look to, you, for real. Okay. Again, that's going into my next Weekend at Biden's column for sure. Eddie, and, you know, he goes back. Why can't someone tell him to stop whispering? I mean, every, you know, all of the people who are trying to help him, you know, the people at Politico or, you know, MSNBC, CNN, they all said, stop whispering. Don't yell. And don't whisper. But, you know, again, he's too busy watching the Bronco marathon on MeTV to listen. Cut 16.
That this bill would reduce inflationary pressures on the economy. Not increase, reduce it. And by the way, it's entirely paid for.
By the way, that's entirely BS. All right, we'll be right back, and we'll take your calls. Hang on, everybody. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr will return after this brief commercial break. He's always polite to his callers.
By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Howie Carr is back.
Massachusetts lawmakers have baked automatic pay raises into law, pocketing a pricey pay bump as the rest of us suffer. This time for change and new ideas at the State House is now, and the agent of that change is you. Visit massfiscal.org to learn how to pull nomination papers on February 15th and run for local office. That's massfiscal.org, massfiscal.org. Jared, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
If Republicans take over Congress, should Biden be impeached?
No, because they can't convict him, so concentrate on things that can be accomplished, my opinion.
67% say yes, 33% say no.
All right. By the way, you know, when you become a legislator, it's not just that you have kind of a semi-no-show job. The State House has been closed for pretty much 2 years now. They don't have to go to meetings. They still get to collect their what used to be called per diems. That's expenses for coming into the State House, even though they don't come into the State House anymore, haven't for 2 years. And on top of all that, you may get picked for a hack job down the road. There's Sheila Harrington, a state rep from, I think, Worcester County, just got picked for the new clerk magistrate's job in the Gardner District Court. And that's a job that pays about $150,000 a year. And unlike judges, you don't have mandatory retirement. And unlike judges, you never have to show up for work. It's not a bad job, $150,000 a year for life by being a state rep. There was a nationwide search before they picked Sheila Harrington for the job. Now she has to be approved by the governor's council, but the governor's council, as James Michael Curley used to say when he was governor, is a hawk shop. So she will be approved and she'll have the job for life. $150,000 plus actually for life. Not bad. 844-500-4242. Steve, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Steve.
Howie, there's good news out there. The Somerville Board of Health last night declined.
I saw this, yes. Declined to impose the passports.
And they were under a lot of pressure from the mayor's office. And they actually stood up, and the chairman, who is a doctor, just said that the vaccine does not appear to be efficacious enough with Omicron, and that it wasn't called for.
Do you think the restaurants in Somerville that were getting all this extra business from people who weren't going to Boston because of the passports across the river? Do you think the people in the restaurant owners, the business owners in Somerville, were pretty damn happy about that vote last night, Steve?
I think they were very happy. I think there were a lot of people who attended the hearing virtually and sent in emails to the Board of Health. And by the way, the city of Cambridge, which people like to make fun of as being so left-wing, the city manager, Di Pasquale, said that the city of Cambridge will not engage in punitive enforcement. So there'll be
good.
No vax mandate, God willing, in Cambridge either.
Yeah, you know, as somebody who's owned property in Boston and Cambridge, I always thought Cambridge was a lot better managed city than Boston, and it's just a generally better place to live and do business than the city of Boston.
I just hope a lot of people get down to that candlelight vigil down at the North End on Sunday, because we have a chance of changing this scene in Boston if we get enough people to participate.
Yeah, I wish Michelle Wu, the mayor, could figure out some way to. She's backed herself into a corner with these insane vaccination mandates for the city workforce. There's no need for them. As the guy on the Somerville Board of Health said, these vaccinations aren't protecting you against Omicron. It's not killing you anyway. I mean, go ahead and get the vaccine or don't get the vaccine, but give people the chance to have tests as the alternative. There's just no need for this. This is insane what they're doing. 844-500-4242. We'll take some more calls when we come back. If you anything you want to talk about, I got a lot of cuts here to play before we call it quits for the weekend. But again, there's a candlelight vigil in the North End on Sunday night from 5 to 6 to protest these ridiculous passports and mandates for city workers. And it's from 5 to 6 at the Paul Revere statue on Hanover Street in the North End. So get there, be square. 844-500-4242. I know it's going to be cold, and I know there's going to be a playoff game. I think that may be the Brady game, actually, the Tampa Bay San Francisco game, but there's more important things than the Bucks. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. Earlier this week, National Panhandler Radio, Nina Totenberg, she's a career hack. She's had her snout in the public trough for probably 40 years, almost as long as Fauci has. She reported that Chief Justice Roberts had asked Gorsuch to wear a mask at the Supreme Court oral hearings, and that he had refused, and that Sonia Sotomayor, who is obese and has diabetes and is over 60, in other words, she's a prime candidate to get the virus and get sick from it, had to go into her private chambers because she was afraid, because Gorsuch wouldn't give her the courtesy of putting on a mask. And Nina Totenberg reported this with certainty and et cetera, et cetera. Well, there's only one problem. It just wasn't true.
Very fake news.
Gorsuch denied it. Sotomayor denied it. John Roberts denied it. So all of Nina Totenberg's, fellow travelers at National Panhandler Radio and, the assorted other alt-left media outlets, they were angry at the Supreme Court justices for denying a fake story. But let's just play a super cut here before we go back to the phone calls about the Gorsuch mask story. It's fake news. And it's like all the Russian collusion hoax fake news stories. We've confirmed the NPR report. Now, the report was false. Again, it was denied by everyone concerned. But all these other outlets confirmed a story that was fake. Just like, stop me if you've heard this one before with the Russian collusion hoax. Cut 16.
Tragically, anti-mask insanity has now reached the highest court in the land.
Neil Gorsuch is prioritizing his right to be a tool over protecting Sonia Sotomayor's life.
Gorsuch loves COVID, which makes him the perfect Republican. He thinks very little.
Gorsuch has the nerve to refuse to wear a mask indoors while seated next to his colleague who's vulnerable to possible death from a highly communicable disease. Where's the collegiality?
Bogus.
Where's the common sense?
That just seems ridiculous. Can you put a mask on to be polite?
What kind of workplace is this?
It's not hard.
Justice Gorsuch had to know that this would become a public controversy. And so I think he did this as a branding opportunity.
What's up with Justice Gorsuch? If all of the other, including all of the other conservative members of the court, are willing to go along with this, why not him?
None of this is true. Again, every person in that story has denied it. But they're just running with it. Why are they denying what we know to be true? Because we made it up. It must be true. It makes Republicans look bad, so we're seizing on it. We're pouncing on it. We're weaponizing it. Let's keep going. It just keeps, it doesn't end. I mean, the fact that it's been denied, that doesn't stop them. They still keep running with it. It's called the big lie. Cut 17.
Every other justice is masking up, even Clarence Thomas, who doesn't seem to care about anybody. But nope. Not Gorsuch. He could not be bothered to extend a life-saving courtesy to his co-worker.
It not only displays a lack of basic civility as a co-worker, but also a lack of humanity.
While Gorsuch's behavior here is pretty disgraceful,
what part of the United States are you from, Governor? Who is that guy? Who is that? Who is that Gore Blimey? Who is that? Just keeps going on. Even Clarence Thomas, formerly the world's worst human being, has decided to wear a mask. I guess that means Neil Gorsuch is even a worse human being than Clarence Thomas. And he must be, because you know what? He was appointed by Donald Trump, the world's worst human being. God, these people, it's just amazing. 844-500-4242. By the way, let's have another Biden flashback about the mask. Remember, we're coming up on the 2-year anniversary of we need to have a lockdown for 2 weeks or 15 days to flatten the curve. But there have been many amendments to the 15 days to flatten the curve since then. Here's just one of them. Cut 6.
I'm going to ask the public for 100 days to mask. Just 100 days.
Just 100 days.
Not forever. 100 days. And I think we'll see a significant reduction if we occur that. And that occurs with vaccinations and masking to drive down the numbers considerably. Considerably.
Considerably. Considerably. But we'll still have to keep the schools closed, because that's what the teachers' unions told me to do. And they give millions of dollars to me and all of my fellow travelers and card-carrying members of those who want to fundamentally transform America into a third-world hellhole. So this is Biden this morning about what he's not going to take any questions. I mean, again, imagine Trump saying he's not going to take questions on a certain subject, which has been dominating the news for the last 48 hours, which is he's pulled a Dean Acheson here, as Dean Acheson did in Korea in 1950. Biden has done the same thing, saying that, he'll have no problems with a minor incursion. Although he never served, so he never got the lecture in basic training about any penetration, however slight. I won't even finish the sentence. You know what it means. Cut four.
By the way, the reason we're not going to have any time for questions now is these guys got to get quickly on a plane and go out and do a major announcement in Ohio, and you guys will ask me all about Russia and not about anything having to do with chips.
Is he going to confront the fact that in many parts of the United States, potato chips are in short supply? You can't even get those crappy barbecue potato chips that, you know, they leave orange stuff all over your hand. Forget Ruffles or Cape Cod potato chips, the good stuff that everybody wants. You can't get sour cream and onion Lay's, which is pretty much close to the last kind of potato chip anyone would want. Cut five, Biden is leaving now and ignoring questions. Cut five.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
If necessary.
Is it time to meet with Putin, sir?
Thank you. Come back to tell us about Russia when you can, sir.
Ooh! That's some laissez majesté there. You're gonna be drummed out of the International Brotherhood of Courtiers and Flatterers and Bum Kissers and Rump Swabs. Peter, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Peter.
Hey, Howie, how you doing? Good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
You there?
I'm here.
Okay, thank you very much. My sister just retired from the IRS, Howie, after 30 years of service. And she told me things that I never knew. It almost blew my mind. She said that the equipment that they use for the processing goes back to the 60s, Howie. And she also went on to say, and some things I can't say because I'm not supposed to say, Lois Lerner and all this. And she said to me, Howie, if you thought Lois Lerner and John Koskinen, the commissioner of the IRS, were bad, wait till you see what happens down the road.
I don't want to see what happens down the road. I've been getting audited for over 30 years, ever since I printed some grand jury transcripts, or what they thought were grand jury transcripts, from the feds. And it's been unending between the state and the feds ever since then. By the way, is your sister moving to the islands, to Martha's Vineyard or Nantucket, like Lois Lerner did?
No, my sister is moving up with around me. She's building a new house, and I'm helping her in northern New Hampshire.
That's good. You know, it's an amazing thing, isn't it? Lois Lerner is brought before a congressional committee, sworn in. She's testifying under oath, and they ask her if she committed any crimes, and she takes the Fifth Amendment, and she gets a pension of a six-figure pension. It's great. Again, I keep coming back to the Thomas Jefferson quote about the federal bureaucracy. Vacancies by death are few, by resignation, never. It's just they get away with everything. An Inspector General's report came out yesterday about the FBI. I'm looking for it right now in my stack of stuff here. And it was let's see, where is it here? Oh, not the. I'll find it. It's about a guy who was having a relationship like Peter Strzok with one of his underlings, like Peter Strzok was the corrupt FBI agent with Lisa Page. Here it is. Senior FBI official caught abusing authority, lies to Inspector General. Corrupt DOJ declines to criminally prosecute. This is a press release. Findings of misconduct by a senior FBI official for failure to timely report a romantic relationship with a subordinate. Lack of candor. That means lying. and related misconduct, and by another now retired senior FBI official for failing to take proactive measures necessary to mitigate adverse consequences of said romantic relationship. So what they do is they get caught. He's participating in two hiring or organizational decisions, meaning promotions, involving the subordinate that he was tapping without receiving prior approval. Then he was sending text messages and emails to the subordinate that disparaged the subordinate's immediate supervisor. And then the senior FBI official interfered with a traffic incident. I assume that means a traffic accident involving the subordinate, his girlfriend, and then lied about it during interviews with the FBI and the Office of the Inspector General. And so they both retired. And so, of course,
this is your FBI.
And so the last sentence of the press release, and no names, of course, because we don't want to. These are very respected law enforcement officers who are breaking all the rules and lying under oath, et cetera, et cetera. So of course the same sentence ends the release that always ends these releases. Criminal prosecution was declined. In other words, these are good people. These people deserve their pensions, like Lois Lerner or Andrew McCabe or Peter Strzok, just because they committed a few crimes and tried to overthrow the republic and violated the constitutional rights of tax-paying U.S. citizens who had real jobs. That doesn't mean they should be prosecuted. God, heaven forfend. Greg, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Greg.
Howie, how you doing?
Good.
I got some good news for you. I don't know if you're familiar with Chuck Morris. He's a member of the legislature here in New Hampshire.
Yes.
He's running against Maggie Hassan, and he's having his come-out party on the 29th up in Atkinson, New Hampshire.
Good. Is he a senator or a rep? I should know this, but I don't.
I should know it, too, but I know I believe he's a rep. He represents the Salem area. But he's big in the Republican Party in New Hampshire, and I received the email from Win Red, which I believe is a national organization for the Republican Party. So apparently he's going to get some backing to get Hassan out of this Senate, because we do not need her there. The country does not need her there.
You know, Chuck Schumer didn't do her any favors this week by making her vote for this voting fraud bill. You know, nobody in New Hampshire wants that more voter fraud. You know, Bill Gardner, the Secretary of State, who's leaving office, he's a Democrat. He knows what that bill was all about. It's about stealing elections. And Chuck Schumer made Maggie Hassan come out and come down in favor of the voting fraud. So I hope it's used against her and against Senator Kelly in Arizona and all the rest of these people. And I think it's I don't know if it's Ossoff or Warnock down in Georgia. I think it's Warnock, actually, who's up for election this time around. And they all had to vote for voting fraud. They don't purge the rolls of dead people. Outlaw voter ID. Make sure that all ballots have to be counted, no matter how fraudulent they are. All mail-in ballots, even if they're not postmarked, even if they come in a week late, they have to be counted. Maggie Hassan is for that bill. Maggie Hassan voted for it. Thanks for the call, Greg. I hope he wins. I should know him, but I don't. I apologize. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Why do we have the jump line? Well, because we can't be serious all the time.
A little nonsense now and then is relished by the wisest man.
The Jump Line, weekdays at 5, right here on The Howie Carr Show.
You just shot an unarmed man.
But he should have armed himself.
The Howie Carr Show.
.201 says, please, enough with the Biden cuts. Two or more Biden cuts and you begin to lose IQ points. Listen long enough, your brain turns to, well, you know what it turns to. I understand. I used to know people who sniffed glue. I used to work with them in the hotels. And I know what Biden cuts or stiff and glue does to your brain, but sometimes you just need a snort. You know, that's all. What can I say?
People you look to are you. They're the people you look that they look to are you, for real.
Sorry, 201. You just lost another 2 points off your IQ. Will, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Will.
Hey, good evening, sir. I just lost my train of thought with that all that wind and stuff. Man. All right, hold on. I'm coming back. Now, I was born and raised in Boston myself, and I never had, I mean, we had the daily South End killings and all that stuff, but right. Boy, it sounds like it's going to hell down there now. But the new mayor, she's figured out a new way of defunding the police, it sounds like, and a bunch of other civil servants, and, you know, where they dropped the ball on the defund nationally the police departments. This sounds like a sneaky, underhanded way of doing it with the COVID passport there. I was wondering what your opinion was.
No, I don't. This is really bad because, you know, I know most people have gotten the vaccination, but I think probably a lot of the top performers in every department, in every agency, every business, a lot of the people that you need most to keep your agency or your department or your business going are the ones who are most skeptical of taking the vaccine. And so, you know, I've seen it in the state police, because I know some of the state police who were involved in what they're trying to fight back against the mandates there. And these are some of the best people there are. And the really bad, the corrupt, the gold brickers, the layabouts, not just in the police or fire or EMT, those are the people who are getting the vaccine. You know, I mean, I know there are a lot of good workers getting the vaccine too, but again, they're clearing out good people in all these departments, all these businesses, these hospitals. They don't have enough people to staff the hospitals because they're driving out good nurses, technicians, physicians. It's just a damn shame what's going on. And again, see if you can get out if it's possible. Back up the Boston First Responders United, and it's also a protest against these vaccine passports in the city of Boston. And what happens in the city of Boston can often be a harbinger of what happens in the other 350 cities and towns in the Commonwealth and at the state level as well. Have a good weekend, everybody. I'm Howie Carr.